This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Now then, today we begin the final message of 13 from the book of Joshua. It's where Joshua gives his farewell address to the people in chapter 24, and he tells people, he admonishes people, decide, choose this day whom you're going to serve. If it's going to be the pagan deities, the pagan gods of the land, serve them. But if it's the Lord, serve him. And then he makes that famous statement, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let it speak to you today and all this week on Cross Hope. For years, there was a book on my shelf written by a man by the name of Martin Coe, and it was this title, Your Greatest Power. I remember when I would be looking for another book, I would always bypass that book on that particular shelf. And for years, that stuck in my mind, Your Greatest Power, Your Greatest Power. I wondered, what does that mean, Your Greatest Power? So one day, my curiosity got the best of me. And I pulled the book off the shelf to find out what Martin Coe meant by saying your greatest power. It had nothing to do with money. It had nothing to do with influence. It had nothing to do with authority. He said your greatest power that God has given you is the ability to choose. Your greatest power is the ability to decide. Do you realize the decisions you made just to be here today? You got up, you made a decision to get up, you made a decision about what to eat. If you ate anything, some of you don't eat breakfast. That's your choice. That's your decision. Some of you maybe came a different way to church this morning because you always go the certain way, but you said, let's go a different way today. You made a choice. You made a decision. And everything about life is choice. In fact, one author puts it this way. Everything begins with a choice and a decision. Everything is a choice, and if you choose consciously, you can become the person you want to be and create the life you desire. Now, I agree with that to a degree. I'm not into this idea that whatever you can dream of, it can happen. I do believe the Lord does fulfill dreams that we have as individuals, as families, in churches. But I don't believe the idea that whatever my mind can conceive, it can achieve, because I don't know if you're willing to admit it, but I've conceived some pretty crazy things in my lifetime. And so have you. I've conceived of some pretty stupid ideas, and so have you. So I don't agree with the idea that whatever my mind can conceive, it can achieve. However, I do believe we have the power to choose. This author went on to say, you can choose to be happy or you can choose to be miserable. You can choose to live a dormant life, or you can choose to create consciously the life that you do desire. You can choose to avoid life, or you can choose to love it and enjoy it. You can choose to be a victim of your past, or you can choose not to let it jeopardize your present or your future. You can choose to feel anger about your past events, people, or you can choose to take responsibility, forgive, and let go. And then her last one is this, you can choose to give and contribute, or you can choose not to. We all have the power to choose. You say, what is that leading up to? Today, I'm going to talk to you about the greatest choice that you ever have made, are making, or will make in your life. And it was presented by Joshua 3,000 years ago to the people of Israel. When Joshua is 100-some years old, he's giving his final address to the nation. And his ultimate message is this, decide. Choose this day, right now, whom you're going to serve. If it's God, then serve God. If it's pagan gods, serve them. Well, since this is the last message in a 13-week series from the book of Joshua, I thought this is a good time to tell you, if there's any message that you've missed on this Joshua series, you do know you can go to our national website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you may have missed or to find out how you can be a part of this ministry. You have more power in terms of the decisions you make than you realize, and the ultimate choice in life, I want you to get this, is not choosing between a God and no God. The ultimate choice in life, listen, this is really important, is a God, the God, or another God. Joshua wasn't dealing with the problem of atheism in Israel. He was dealing with the problem of idolatry. He wasn't saying choose between believing in God or believing in atheism, no God. That wasn't the issue. That wasn't the choice. The people were worshiping pagan gods. I want to give you an illustration out of our own lives that will help you to understand this. First, to tell you that the people of Israel picked up the gods of the people they conquered. That's incredible to me. They came into the promised land and they picked up the pagan gods that their forefathers worshiped. And they picked up the pagan gods that the people that whose nation they conquered were worshiping. They would put little statuettes in their home and they would pray to that god. They would build what was called an Asherah pole, maybe in their next to their tent, and they would worship that god. And you say, I can't believe that God's people would turn and worship idols. Folks, it happens all the time, and we can worship the gods of this age. I'll talk about it. When Annie and I were married years ago, a missionary came back from Ghana, Africa. And he happened to be in the States at the time of our wedding, so he gave us a wedding gift that is, I would call it a gag gift. It was a little pagan idol. It was out of black ebony wood, and it was called a fertility doll. It was a joke. You know, take this, you'll have many children. I had it up in my office for years. Just, and when people would say, what is that? I'd say, oh, a missionary from Ghana, Africa gave us that as a wedding gift, and it's a we had a good laugh over it. It's a fertility doll. I had it in my office until my brother-in-law, who was a missionary in Africa for years, came to my office when he was on leave, and he looked at that and said, what in the world are you doing with that in your office here at the church? And I said, lighten up, it's just a fertility god. He said, Randy, people pray to that. People worship that in Africa. You've got an idol in your office. And it so convicted me that I literally took it that day and broke it into pieces and threw it away. I did what Joshua told the people to do. Let's begin by looking at verse 14. Joshua says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Let me talk about fearing the Lord perhaps in a way that you've never thought about. We've talked about fearing the Lord, that it means to acknowledge the Lord. It means to reverence the Lord. It doesn't mean just to cringe in fear. But let me tell you what we fear. We fear war. We fear disease. We fear an economic recession that people are talking about in our own economy right now. Possible depression. We fear illness, we fear loss of jobs, we fear loss of a house. There are all kinds of things that we fear. And Joshua's first admonition to the people and his last message is this, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. What would happen if you made the choice today that from now on what we're going to fear in our household, we're going to fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness? To fear the Lord and to serve him with all faithfulness. Look at the next sentence. It says, throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. I did with that pagan idol what Joshua told the Israelites to do. Throw away the gods. Well, is there anything in your life or my life that we need to throw away? I'm going to use a powerful illustration of that tomorrow, what a man needed to get rid of in his life because someone confronted him about it. Every man in this room knows what it is he's got to throw away this afternoon. Every woman, perhaps, in this room, every young person knows, I've got to get rid of that. There are things in your life, get this, that may not be inherently evil in and of themselves, but they represent something that to you has become a barrier between you and the Lord. Do you follow me? I think I told this story before, but I remember a man telling me who'd been involved in an affair earlier in his life, I mean like 15, 20 years earlier in his life, and he said, I'm still struggling with feelings toward this woman. I've broken off the relationship. I haven't seen her, but I still struggle. And I was shooting in the dark. I didn't know anything. I said, well, do you have anything that belongs to her? And I just saw the countenance of his face change immediately. I mean, I read him, and then I knew he did. He said, well, it's funny you should say that. He said, I have this brown manila envelope that I keep sealed, And I have all the letters and notes from her, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And I said, I stopped him. I said, let me guess. Every so often you open that envelope and you read one of them. He said, no, I read all of them. I read all of them. And I said, you know what you need to do? And he said, I know, I know. And that afternoon, he went home and he burned them. And then the next Sunday when I saw him, I just said, well, he said, they're gone. I knew what he meant. They're gone. I'm not saying you've got something like that at home. I'm not saying that you have anything close to that at home. But is there anything in your life that you need to throw away? And throw it away, listen to this, in the name of Christ. I throw this away, I discard it in the name and in the power of Jesus. That could speak to somebody here today. Throwing away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river. Let's bring up verse 15 if we could. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is the most important verse, not only in this passage, it's the most important verse, not only in this chapter, this is the most important verse, in my opinion, of the whole book of Joshua. Everything that's taught in Joshua leads up to this verse that says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Why? Because it's your choice. It's your decision and it's my decision. Sometimes choices in life have to be made quickly. There are choices in life that you have time to ponder. You have time to think about. You have time to pray about. But there are choices in life that you have to make rather quickly. And so you say, well, what do you do in that case when you don't have a chance to pray about it? You pray preemptively. Here's what you do. You say, Lord, if I have any decisions coming up that impact my future and I don't have time to pray, I'm praying for that wisdom right now. I'm asking you in advance for wisdom. I'm asking you in advance for discernment. And if you remember, the book of James says, God freely gives wisdom to the man or woman who asks for it. Ask God preemptively ahead. And Lord, give me wisdom and discernment about the year ahead. And if I have to make a split-second decision, help me with it. Now then, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we're going to talk about praying for your children. It's a sensitive issue. Most people worry about their children. They reach a certain age, they start worrying about their grandchildren. We'll deal with some of those issues tomorrow as we continue this message from Joshua 24 tomorrow on Cross Hope. I want to share a couple of illustrations about choice. Some of you remember a young man by the name of Tony Melendez. Now, you won't remember that name, but you'll remember him when I describe him because there's nobody else like him physically. Tony Melendez was born without arms. He didn't lose his arms. He was born without arms. I think, if my memory's correct, his mother had in Mexico had taken the drug known as thalidomide, and he was born with no arms. He was perfectly normal in every other way. But Tony Melendez grew up and then in a Catholic home in Mexico. And you may remember this part, that unbelievably, he learned how to play the guitar with his feet. Now, if you would have told me that, I wouldn't have believed it. I had to see it myself on television to see this young man play a guitar with his feet, and I wept when I watched it because I love guitar music, and to see this young man play the guitar with his feet was unbelievable. And you may remember the highlight of his life, I'm sure, was when he got to perform in front of Pope John Paul. And thousands of people were there watching Tony Melendez play the guitar. Now, my point in telling the story is not that and not his playing the guitar and playing in front of the Pope. Here's the part of the story that's important. Tony Melendez would say this. When I was born and my mother realized I had no arms, my mother had a choice. She could either worry herself sick the rest of my life, or she could place me in the hand of God. My mother chose to place me in the hand of God. What a word for somebody today. What is it you worry about? Most people worry about their children. That's the number one worry is their children. And then as people grow older, their number one worry is they worry about their grandchildren. And here's the choice today. You either fret and worry yourself sick, or do what Tony Melendez's mother did. You place your children in the hands of God and say, God, I can't be with them every minute. I can't be with them every place they go. I'm not with them at school. I'm not with them in a lot of social situations. But you know what, Lord, you are. And let me tell you this. This is a word for somebody today. Your children may get away from you, but they'll never get away from your prayers. Would you remember that? Your children will never get away from your prayers. Never! As long as you are alive and you're praying for your son, your daughter, they will never get away. They can move to Alaska. They can move to South America. They can move to Asia. But they'll never get away from your prayers. And they'll never get away from the arm of the Lord, which the Bible says the arm of the Lord is not too short. It's a figurative expression. I mean, nobody is outside of his reach. God doesn't have a place where he says, well, I can't answer prayer there because I just don't have any clout there. There is nowhere where God's hand cannot reach figuratively and literally. That's a word for somebody today. I don't want to be melodramatic here, but I really believe that there is power in a father or mother or both standing in your house and reading this passage. And reading it out loud and saying, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me tell you why that's important. A lot of things are said in a home that are destructive. And a lot of things have been said in your home. You've said things that are destructive. Why not pronounce a blessing upon your home right from Scripture that says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now then, tomorrow we not only conclude this message, but this series from the book of Joshua tomorrow on Cross Hope. I want you to hear the final illustration and message tomorrow. God bless you. Corrie ten Boom, when she was in Holland, before she went to the concentration camp, got word through the Dutch underground that German troops were planning to raid an orphanage. An orphanage that had 18 babies and toddlers. Parents had been killed, and there were 18 infants and toddlers at this orphanage, and the word going out around the underground, the Germans were planning to raid it and just put it on the line. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. They planned to kill those children. You know, I had trouble believing those kinds of things, but let me tell you, when you read the history of World War II, you watch the PBS special that was on about the war, and you realize the brutality was just indescribable. The brutality was just indescribable. And she got the word they're going to kill those children, infants and toddlers. So Corrie ten Boom gathered together, why she did this, probably at the hand of God, she gathered together 30 teenage boys, 15, 16, 17 years of age, who were a part of the Dutch underground. And she met with them in a room, secret meeting. She said, boys, this orphanage is going to be raided by German troops. I want you to help me rescue them. And then she told them this. She said, I don't want you to tell me what you're going to do. I don't want to know what your plans are. I don't know what your strategy is going to be, because if I'm arrested, I don't want to be tortured into telling what you're going to do. So it was really, it's hard to believe those kinds of things went on. So there was a group of 30 teenage boys, 15 to 17. She gave the assignment. She left. Those 30 teenage boys were able to get 30 German uniforms. And these 30 teenage boys, dressed up as German soldiers, go marching up to the orphanage and demand, as German soldiers, demand the babies. Give us the babies. And the people at the orphanage handed them over. And they marched back to some place and gave those babies to Corrie ten Boom and some of the people that assisted her. And then Corrie ten Boom and others would go to private homes, and they'd go to a family and say, they're going to kill this baby. Would you take this child and raise this child? And one by one, Corrie ten Boom placed 18 babies and toddlers with 18 families in Amsterdam. Some 15 or 16 years later, in the United States, Corrie ten Boom is speaking at a church, late 50s, early 60s. And an elderly couple comes up comes up to Corey and said, "Corey, we want you to meet our son, Martin." And standing behind them is 15 or 16-year-old young man, one of the babies that she saved. Can you imagine the emotion of that moment when Corey Ten Boom meets this 15 or 16-year-old boy, realizing that she was instrumental in saving his life? "We want you to meet our son, Martin." Now here's my point in telling that story. How did it happen that a woman named Corey Ten Boom was able to get 30 teenage boys to impersonate German soldiers, go up to an orphanage, seize those children, and then bring them back to her so she could place them in 18 different homes? How did all of that happen? Listen carefully. She decided to do it. Would you listen to that again? She decided to do it. She made a choice. Everything in life is the result of a decision or a choice. I'm asking you today to decide to choose to follow the Lord God Almighty. The choice is the same as it was 3,000 years ago when Joshua said, "Choose this day. Choose this day whom you're going to serve." And then one of the most beautiful sentences in all of the Bible that you ought to put up on the refrigerator, and so should I. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray together.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.